This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits. Enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform, Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
This is iFanboy Special Edition, Justice League War World.
It's a bit early in the midnight hour for me to go through all the things that I want to be. I don't believe in everything I see. You know I'm blind, so why do you disagree? Take me away, 'cause I just don't wanna stay. And the lies you made me say are getting deeper every day.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition, Justice League War World. The Animation Brain Trust has convened. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Paul Montgomery.
Hello.
And Ryan Haupt.
Hiya.
And we're here talking about Justice League War World, the latest DC Universe animated original film. They don't even call that anymore, but we still do it. Paul, give us the stats.
This is film 93. Not really. What do we say? It's like they're 35. In the 50s or 60s. It's not 35. They've done more than that. They've done a bunch of these.
Yeah.
But this is the latest in that line that started...
The Man Post. Of
Tomorrowverse.
Tomorrowverse,
yes.
But is it?
Yeah.
Spoilers if you haven't seen the film, but you know, you've come this far. A minute into the show. Might as well stick with us. This film was directed by Jeff Wamister, written by Jeremy Adams, Ernie Altbacker, Josie Campbell. Two of those names have recently written a lot of DC comics. And it stars most of the voices from the Tomorrowverse world. Jensen Ackles as Batman and Darren Criss as Superman and
Stana Katic
as Wonder Woman. Let's dive in. We might as well just dive in because there's a lot to talk about.
Feature length.
This is a 91-minute film. I noticed that right off the bat. Interesting viewing experience. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it works as a film.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I especially liked half of it a lot.
Okay.
And the other parts were okay. The least interesting part to me was so this film breaks up into four parts. It's an episodic film. The least interesting part to me was the fourth part, which was the part that they heavily featured in the trailer. So when the movie started, I was not prepared for what it was because it opens up in a Western setting, Pale Rider, Magnificent Seven-esque scenario where a gang has taken over a town. And it felt like it went on for 25 minutes. I don't know how long it went on because, as I said before, my DVD player doesn't tell me how long things are when I pause.
I checked the time. It was at least 20 minutes. I think it was about 21, 22 minutes.
At some point, I was like, is this the movie?
Yeah. Right.
But I loved it. That was my absolute favorite part of the movie, the opening part. What did you guys think overall? Like, it was a very different, and I appreciate when they try something new and different, and this was definitely an experiment.
A weird one. I have very complicated feelings about this, but I will say, just off the bat, it's very audacious.
Yep.
It's maybe one of the more ambitious of these things. And also, we've seen all of them. And even though we've seen all of them, and there is an extent to which, yes, they kind of run together a bit sometimes, and like we will forget things.
Sure.
You know, if you've been listening to us doing this for over 10 years now, we will forget something. But even having watched all of the, you know, Tomorrowverse stuff, yeah, going into this, like you're like, what, where are we? What happened? And I did remember that in the last one of these, Superman and Batman got taken.
Right.
Into a portal.
And the post credits.
Right.
That was the Legion film.
I was like, okay, I see what we're doing here. And also, you're going to notice that this movie does not hold your hand at all.
No. I was impressed by that part of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this was very different. We've watched 100 of these movies, and this was unlike any of the other ones. And does it work necessarily? Not necessarily 100%. But about halfway through, I was like, you know what? This is pretty impressive for what they're trying to do. And when it finished, did it hold up as a film? Probably not, but I found myself happy they tried something different. I found myself impressed by the choices they made. I really enjoyed the Western sequence. I really enjoyed the 1950s Twilight Zone sequence. I enjoyed enough the fantasy Skartaris
Shambhala
one. And in the end was the end. Let's just assume the standard superheroes all get together and fight Mongol. But, you know, halfway through, I was like, wow, what are they doing here? This is crazy. And then by the end, I was like, okay, that was interesting.
Now, Ryan, before you weigh in, just real quick, Connor, since you mentioned, like, does this work as a film? The thing that I think the last point of this that I was not expecting was that this ends on a cliffhanger.
Well, yeah.
So that made it even more complex. Like, I thought, oh, this is going to resolve, and we're going to remember who we are, and we're going to go back to the Tomorrowverse and status quo or whatever, and form the Justice League.
Right. This is called Justice League Warworld, but it's really Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, a little bit of John Jones.
But there are more steps, and we don't know what the next steps are.
Or we know what the next step is.
Is it Crisis?
Yes.
Okay. I think I didn't know that. I knew that in the back of my mind, I knew that we were getting a Crisis movie. I didn't necessarily know that.
Crisis and Watchmen were the only ones announced at Comic-Con, so that's the only thing we know coming up. Apparently, there won't be an October release. There's always an October release, so I guess
I assumed that that would be its own thing and not
part
of the
Tomorrowverse. You assume
that
Crisis would be its own thing, not part of the Tomorrowverse? Yeah, I could see. That's not an unreasonable assumption.
Sure, for sure.
But I mean, now that this ends the way that it does.
Yes.
It seems to be like holding a baton up, and Crisis is the thing that would, I guess, grab that baton and keep going.
This feels almost like the most Marvel-y of the movies in that it doesn't resolve satisfyingly as a standalone story, although it kind of also does, but it very clearly is a film that takes place between two other films.
Yeah.
And when Marvel is the least successful, it's when the films feel like that as opposed to its own story. But let's talk about, Ryan, actually you haven't gone yet. Ryan, what did you think overall?
I didn't love this. It didn't quite work for me. No one of the three sequences. I agree there were parts of them that I did like, but yeah, I thought the Western one was a little overlong, and I couldn't figure out, like, wait, whose side is Diana on? What is she trying to accomplish here?
That's the point. She's the Clint Eastwood character. She's the man with no name. You don't know whose side she's on until she makes the choice.
The Batman one, I think, you know, I enjoyed that mostly just because I've been reading Danger Street. Well, the other thing that this had going against it is I just read last week's Pick of the Week, the Enfield Massacre book. Yeah. I was like, ooh, that's a good Western. And this just wasn't as good as that. So sorry, bad timing on that front. And then the Warlord one, I think the only reason I really was able to enjoy much of that at all is because I've been reading Danger Street, the book that includes that character. So I had a little bit more context. I think I would have recognized him as a DC deep cut, but haven't spent as much time with him in the comics lately as I have recently. And then, yeah, the Twilight Zone one was cool and fun. But by then it was like clearly building to the fourth act where I agree I got pretty standard superhero stuff and Lobo shows up and I was just like, okay, I'm
really concerned. It feels like they're really pushing Lobo in all forms and all avenues, and I can't stand for that.
Yeah.
Can't stand for it.
I think there's overlap. So I don't want to say he's the new Cyborg, because they were really pushing Cyborg for a while, and then now it's Lobo, but I think there's overlap too. Like,
are they building like something? Is James Gunn going to do a Lobo thing? Or
there's been a lot of rumors about him and about Jason Momoa playing Lobo. Right. And
that was I remember.
Wait, he can be Aquaman and Lobo?
Well, he won't be Aquaman anymore. Lobo was on the Krypton show. Lobo's been in the comics a lot. Like, Lobo's showing
a lot
up
of these animated movies
way more than Lobo. He should ever be allowed to show up anywhere. So the whole premise of this film is that, as we said, Superman and Batman were taken from the last movie. We don't see that here, though. We start with this Western town, and it's a Wonder Woman story. So each character gets their own story that builds on the previous one, where characters show up, and it all turns out to be a thing that John Jones is doing to their heads. But I love the fucking Western story. That could have been the whole movie for me. I mean, I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan. This is very much in that vein of The Man with No Name, or Pale Rider, which is kind of also The Man with No Name. Where there's a town taken over by a gang and the mysterious stranger shows up and saves the day. But I liked how they tried to make you kind of feel like it was morally ambiguous. Jonah Hex was the bad guy. And he's straight up a bad guy. This is not anti-hero Jonah Hex at all.
That was a curve for me. I was like, wait, Jonah Hex is bad? I was like, why are we?
Like, oh, well, the townspeople are bad. They stole money from the banks. And I was like, you're going to try to get me on the side of the banks?
Exactly.
I knew right away that wasn't going to fly. So anyway, I thought it was terrific. I thought it was unexpectedly bloody. I thought the action was good. I thought Wonder Woman fit right into this scenario. She was fun as a Western character. Batlash was fun. It could have kept going as far as I was concerned. It was pretty cool.
I think if I went back and watched it again, I might enjoy it more, because I was like, wait, why did Diana just let those people die?
This is not Diana, per
right.
se.
Well, I didn't know that at that point. I thought it was like, I thought she was in on it. At least in the beginning, like, she knew who she was. Like, I didn't know she was an amnesiac. I just thought she was in a strange new world.
Right.
But she also didn't know who she was. So there's that wrinkle, plus the wrinkle of Jonah Hex being just outright bad. And so he did
fight for the Confederacy, Paul.
He did.
That's just a true fact about history.
It is a true fact.
Then we cut to the Skartaris, which is the Hollow Earth land from the 80s DC comics.
Mm-hmm.
The land of warlords.
That's also real, right? Earth is hollow? Yeah, okay, good.
There's lizards down there. They run the government. Warlord is the character there, and he and Batman have to team up against someone named Deimos. I mean, I thought it was fun. I don't love this as a genre as much as I love Westerns.
You're not a big sword and sandals guy.
I like it. I like Conan the Barbarian. I like those movies, but like
I like sword and sandal stuff.
If you rank the three genres, the UFO, horror, Western, and sword and sandal, it'll be the third, but I still enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story. I liked Batman. You know, he wasn't Batman. He was this Batman character. And Wonder Woman shows up.
He's a treacherous Batman.
Good.
He betrayed the Warlord.
Yeah.
Left him for the Minotaur.
Warlord was kind of a dick, though.
Yeah.
He tried to kill him.
I don't think I like Jensen Ackles as Batman.
Okay.
There's a lot of love for Jensen Ackles. And I think he can do his thing, but he doesn't feel like Batman to me. He feels like a Green Arrow to me.
I think it's possible that he's so much better than the previous Batman that he's graded on a curve. Because the previous Batman, who we had for like almost a decade.
Yeah, that guy wasn't great.
An actor who I really like was terrible, Jason O'Mara. And so for me, it's like anything that's not Jason O'Mara at this point. And this has only been seven of these movies. Seven of these Tomorrowverse movies. It started in 2021.
I'm surprised that there has been as many as seven. I didn't realize that. I would figure this was like four or five.
Yeah, this is the seventh one.
Because they did The Long Halloween as a two-parter.
Yeah. Man of Tomorrow, Justice Society, two Long Halloweens, and Green Lantern, Boo or My Power, Legion of
Super Heroes. Oh, yeah, there was Ackles in that, wasn't it? Okay. I think he sounds like a meathead as Batman. When he's putting on the voice, I don't buy it. He sounds like a little kid.
Did you guys like the story? Ryan, did you like it more than you liked the Western one?
No, I got a little tired. It was like sort of Monster of the Week-y. It was just like, oh, here's another big monster that like they could just gut.
That was probably my biggest complaint with it, was it just felt like they just fought a series of monsters and then it was over.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the opening had interesting dynamics at play, and then the second story was more like just beat on monsters. The third one I thought was terrific. The black and white, Twilight Zone-esque 1950s communist Red Scare inspired UFO horror story.
The King Faraday.
Snapper Carr.
King Faraday and Clark Kent, who are agents of the government, show up at this diner, and there's been a UFO sighting, and one of the people in the diner, including Lana Lang and Pete, also Pete Lang, I guess, took her last name. Snapper Carr. Progressive in the 50s. And then some other people, one of them is supposed to be the alien, and turns out they all are, and white Martians. I thought it was terrific. I love those black and white. By this point, I was like, you know what? They're doing a lot of interesting things here, and I was really enjoying it.
There's some unusual conceits to how they experience these, because it's like it's the Matrix thing where people are asleep and they're being fed these dreams right. by Martian Manhunter, who's being tortured into doing so. And like Batman, I believe, addresses the fact that they didn't see color.
Yes.
When they were in the black and white reality, yeah, which is kind of a funny idea.
A little Pleasantville style.
Also, when like they showed the clone of Jonah Hex, who has the messed up face. Like, why would a clone of Jonah Hex have...
Right, it's not embedded in his DNA that his face is messed it's not up. Part,
he wasn't born that way. He was disfigured in his life.
Well, they gotta make him a match, right?
It's sort of like, there are crazy, over-the-top conceits, but then it's also kind of like deadly serious. Mm-hmm. That was maybe the issue for me. It was as ambitious as it was, and as cool as some of the ideas were, it felt kind of dry, and just like, yeah, deadly serious to me.
I don't think I like Clark as a G-Man.
Well, this is for the one story.
Bud Collier.
I thought Mongol was cool. I mean, like, I thought it was all cool. I just, by the time it got to the end, and it was Lobo and Mongol. And
it was a weird design for Mongol.
Yes, it was.
Didn't read super Mongol-y to me.
Oh, really?
Thick enough.
Yeah, he didn't look like he would be a physical match for Superman. When I first saw him, I was like, wait, is that Mongol, or is that like, are they introducing like a gold Martian?
I think they were trying to make him somewhat cerebral as well, so that he was more of like an overall threat.
I want Mongol to be smart, but I don't need him. I want him to still be...
Let Mongol be Mongol.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they get back together, and they free John Jones, and they save the day, and they defeat Mongol, and no one kills Lobo, which is a disappointment. And then during the entire film, and I couldn't tell, maybe this is because I was missed something while I was looking up something on my phone. The visions that appeared throughout the film, was that related to Mongol, or was that related to Crisis?
That felt larger than Mongol. I would think that's Crisis or whatever they're building to.
I couldn't tell. I mean, it could have been Mongol, but I don't know.
Mongol does have a history of putting Superman into a fantasy realm.
That's true. So the film ends with Harbinger appearing. Harbinger looking nothing like Harbinger in the comics, looking a lot like Wave Rider from the Armageddon 2001 event, and tells them a crisis is coming. And that's where we leave it. There was no post-credit sequence. It was strange. I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love it. I did love parts of it, though. And I guess when you're episodic, that's just going to be the nature of the beast.
I think I'm finding that I disliked it.
You overall disliked it?
I think I disliked it, yeah.
Okay.
I liked the idea of it, but in execution, I just wasn't wild about it.
Paul over to my side.
By the time I got to the end of the third story, I was like, wow, this is interesting. This is kind of a fun little anthology they're doing. And then it got very standard after that. But there's not a ton to talk about.
I think my favorite part about the sequence on Warworld is Batman not knowing how smart he is. And then being like, you know, like Diana says something. I could have taken that guy out for you. He's like, yeah, but I want to see what this boomerang did. He's just like testing out his own gadgets because he doesn't remember. That was fun.
Or he doesn't know how to use, how I know how to use this machine, but I do. So it was just
it's like Jason Bourne Batman.
I like the designs. I thought the
we've Wonder always Woman's... liked the way the Tomorrowverse looks.
Oh, I liked the animation quite a bit. I liked the different Diana designs. I liked her Western outfit. I liked her Skartaris outfit.
I almost didn't recognize her on Skartaris. I thought,
I didn't either. I thought, is that Big Barda?
Big Barda? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought that too.
But then I saw that earrings and I saw the headband. I was like, okay, that's Wonder Woman. I liked that Batlash became kind of a Steve Trevor character for her. Like, I thought there were fun things in it, but it felt very much like just a prelude to a bigger story, which is Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what that's going to mean.
And like, I was going to say, is it a story you're even excited for?
Oh, I love Crisis. One of my favorite stories of all time. I'm super excited for it. But when they did Flashpoint, we all joked, oh, they're probably going to do this and change the movies, which is what they did. The real question will be, from a larger sort of meta sense, is will the Crisis film be a way to change the movies again, even though they've only done 7 of these Tomorrowverse films? It'll be interesting to see.
All right. So poking around the glowing people, the woman is Harbinger.
Yes, Harbinger.
Right. That's directly going into Crisis.
Then. Yep. Harbinger, who shows up to foretold the coming of Antimatter, although her design looks like Wave Rider, who is not Harbinger. But what do I know? I just read these books.
You haven't come to power yet. When you do,
it's going
to
be a bloody coup. So rank these segments. So we have the Western, the Skartaris, the 50s, and then the present day. Rank them. Rank them. Ratings.
I think I go 50s Twilight Zone, Western, Skartaris, Warworld.
I would go Skartaris, just because I like that milieu. I like the Hyborian Age kind of situation.
Sure.
Sword and sandals. Then I would go Western. Then I would go the war world bit with Mongol.
Oh, wow.
I don't like the black and white G-men stuff. That's not my...
Interesting.
I don't like gray men kind of sci-fi. It's not my bag. At that point, I was sort of fatigued. I was like, okay, let's get everybody united. And so I think that its place in the movie also hurt it for me.
Mm.
Mine is Western, Twilight Zone, Skartaris, and then Warworld. So I think if you do the ranked choice voting, the Western segment wins.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And also we had three different ones, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Also interesting is, and they talked about this, I watched a bit of it. They had two little documentaries on it. Both of them are basically behind the scenes of this film. And, you know, they did a Warworld two-part Justice League cartoon, which is much more of your traditional Mongol gladiator battles on Warworld story. Mm-hmm. This is a very different one.
I remember. That was fun.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't remember that one. Why don't I remember that one, Paul?
You had a baby.
Yeah.
I feel like I watched the cartoon before I had a child, but...
Yeah, but it takes holes and puts them in your brain.
Yeah.
I have to applaud them for trying something totally different. They could have just redone that story. You know, I think this is also throwing us off because they just did a Warworld story in Superman comics. That's nothing like this. They could have done that one,
I guess. Sword and Sandals-y.
Not like this. So I give them I give them credit for trying something totally different. I don't know that it worked.
I can't hold this against this because this is just an expectations thing. And this is me misreading the announcement. But when this was first introduced, I thought this was going to be more of a direct adaptation of what they've been doing in the Superman comics, the Philip Kennedy Johnson storyline. Because I thought with Mongol and Warworld and like Superman is sort of, it's sort of like Planet Superman, like their answer to Planet Hulk in a way. And like, so I thought it was going to be that. And so this is, I don't know. This as an original story, I was underwhelmed. I don't know.
It's a curveball.
But I do give them points because it feels like they like got away with something. they snuck this through because it's very...
So they announced Crisis and Watchmen at Comic-Con, both for 2024 release.
Okay.
2 years ago, they announced a Milestone Media film. I don't think that's ever happening.
Oh, man.
So I guess this is it for us for the year.
Milestone is like Lucy with the football.
Milestone is like, that's like the Static Shock universe.
Yeah.
It's like not Milestone themselves, but like DC and how they tout that they're going to do stuff with Milestone. Like, and it just doesn't.
It's also hard because it's a, you know, there could be a rights issue because they're not owned outright by DC. So I'm looking at the previous year. So this year we've had three films. Last year we had three films, although they were spread out February, July, October. The year before that, 2021, we had four films because that was a two-parter. So we had the April, June, July, October.
If you said it, I missed it. Did they say specifically that Watchmen and Crisis are both one film? Like, or are they...
They haven't
could
said.
Could they be two-parters? Okay.
The way you phrase that question may sound like, are they merging the two stories? I doubt it. I think that'd be... That, you want to talk about big swings?
That would be a big swing. If I had to guess, maybe Crisis is two parts. I mean, Dark Knight Returns was two parts. Long Halloween was two parts. It's a big story. Which they're not going to do, obviously. They're not going to do a comic faithful, which is kind of a bummer. I would almost prefer it be a standalone, you know, just comic faithful adaptation. But
which one?
Crisis, but I get it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. No one wants to make me happy. It's fine.
Could you see... Well, that wouldn't make sense. I was going to say, could you see them doing all of the crises like over time? But then would you have to do films in between them?
you'd have to. Yeah.
You couldn't just do like a trilogy of...
No, there's too much difference. Like too much water under the bridge between the films.
The Zack Snyder Watchmen movie is 163 minutes.
That's long.
That's long. And I don't know how you do Watchmen much shorter than that without cutting a lot of stuff out.
They could both be two parts. You're getting four films next year.
Do they...
If they don't commit to doing the animated pirate,
that's what I was going
to
say. Do they just bring in what they've already animated? Because they already did that.
Or should the pirate parts be live action?
Ooh, I like that. See, this is why they got to put you in charge, Connor.
I know. See, I got all kinds of good ideas. You know, I don't put this in the category of the really bad ones that are boring.
No,
I don't put this in the category of Catwoman Hunted or that Suicide Squad one that Ryan loved for some reason. I appreciate they took a swing, and the swing maybe didn't connect.
The middling ones, I think, have been like the Batman and Son
right.
stuff.
Like, I don't think of this as in that level. I think of this as like a noble experiment that didn't necessarily
Well, you enjoyed it. You can say you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed half of it.
You're comparing this to Prohibition?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I don't put this at the bottom of the list where I put those really sort of boring, bad, middling ones or terrible stuff. But, you know, it wasn't a huge success for me.
But it sounds like you liked it the most out of
I liked it the most, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I liked three out of the four stories to varying degrees. And the fourth story was fine. It was just whatever.
What accent was Stana Katic doing?
That was a great question, Paul, and I had the same thought.
She's doing an Amazonian accent. It can be whatever accent she wants it to be.
It seemed like she was trying to cover the distance between Gal Gadot's Greek accent and her Israeli accent.
Like, I think you're right, Paul.
Trying to do an impression of her inconsistent Wonder Woman accent.
Let's call it Pan-Mediterranean. How about that?
But then there was also like some Russian in there. It was something.
Let's not give the Russians any ideas about.
Right. It's kind of a bummer to end this way. And it was a bummer that there's not going to be another film. It is what it is. I guess we wait indeterminate amount of time for the next one.
I mean, there's some animated feature films coming out that we could theoretically.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying usually like.
We know what's coming down the pike.
We know it's coming. We only have this announcement for Crisis and Watchmen. Also, it's officially called Justice League : Crisis and Infinite Earths.
If nothing else, Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. Coming to 4K UHD.
Do we need to revisit that review?
No, I don't think so. We did review it when it came out on Blu-ray.
We did.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
It's not? What?
No, it's not very good.
What, the movie in general?
Yeah.
This feels new.
No. Yeah, I thought we all liked
it. Go back and listen to the review. It's not a very good movie. And I don't understand why people think it's the best Batman movie ever made. It's like a middling episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We reviewed it in 2017. You can go back.
I like the scene where Bruce goes into the cemetery or whatever.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going
to
say, Paul.
Yelling at his parents and saying, I didn't expect to be happy. I didn't know I'd be happy. Do I still have to do this? That's character development you just don't get in Batman anything.
Yeah.
I heard an interview with Ben Affleck and he was talking about the Flash movie and he was saying how like in the Flash movie, he finally really figured out how to play Bruce Wayne, even though it's his last outing.
I remember seeing that quote, yeah.
And I watched the Flash movie, and I have no idea what he's talking about.
Listen.
Well, I guess for him, it's like he internalized it. I have not seen that movie, so I don't know, but.
Yeah.
At least Ben Affleck's Batman is a very gadgety, like, it's, you know, there's constantly.
He's constantly
buttons getting pushed and things happening.
Batman's fine in the movie.
Which one? Which Batman?
Well, that's a good question. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. All right, well, let's talk about ratings on Justice League War World. It's a very strange review because it's a very strange film. I remember, you know, because again, from the trailer just leans so heavy on the last 20 minutes. I'm actually looking at it now that when I looked at the box of the movie, I was like, why is Clark black and white in that fedora? I walked into a ambush, is what I'm saying. And I kind of liked it.
I think we've been trained knowingly or not by, I feel like this is true for Marvel movies, especially that. The trailer, if you go back and like compare the trailer to the final film, I feel like most Marvel movies don't use anything past like the 1/3 mark of the movie right. in the trailer because they're so scared about spoilers. So I think, Connor, we might just be a little bit broken in terms of when you saw a trailer that was showing you the final act of the movie, your brain didn't know what to do with that information when you were actually watching it.
It's just that they kept the surprise, right? Like I'm watching it, they're showing little bits here and there from the first two, but it looks like it's more of like this crazy Justice League movie that Warlord shows up in. There's a flash of Western Wonder Woman. There's a flash of Jonah Hex, but you don't get a sense that it's not mostly them in their regular outfits being their regular selves. You don't get that sense at all from the trailer. So that's why it's like, whoa, what's going on? Because it just wasn't what they were.
They know what butters their broccoli.
Sure, absolutely. It's a good way to do it. I'm saying it's good.
Yeah.
Paul, you've gone too deep in diet culture if you're talking about buttering broccoli.
All right, so ratings. Out of 5 stars, I'm giving this a 3 stars.
Ryan?
2 feels too low. 2.25.
2.
Oh, Paul with the lowest.
Ah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this wasn't offensively bad. Connor, you were right on that level, but yeah.
Just in terms of my enjoyment and would I want to watch it again? Not really.
I might watch segments again, but I wouldn't watch the whole movie again. That's for sure.
I can't remember a time I've actually gone back and rewatched one of these movies, even if I said I would.
Yeah, I always say I'm going to on the ones that I really like, and then
I've watched the Jason Todd one again, Under the Red Hood.
Under the Red, that's a good one.
That movie came out 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched that. I've watched New Frontier several times.
I would watch that every 13 years, baby.
If I had to pick a couple to rewatch, just off the top of my head right now, apropos of nothing, I would rewatch. For whatever reason, I remember really liking the Crisis on Two Earths movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrific one.
But you're a big James Wood fan.
Yeah, I stand behind the man's entire...
I saw James Wood the other day on the street.
Yeah?
That's a great one. I sent that one to Josh because he and his kid have been watching the original Justice League cartoon.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
That one does tie in. That's
it ties into the original show, so I sent that
one. And then I would rewatch the Gods and Monsters one.
That's good.
With Vampire, Batman, and Latino Superman.
You know how sometimes, like in a film, they'll show somebody like getting all... pumped up in their workout, like they have their enemy attached to like a dartboard in front of their workout machine.
Yeah.
Or like on the treadmill. I would put on a loop the opening of Killing Joke where Batman sleeps with Barbara Gordon, and I would just put that on a loop for whenever I need to get angry and worked up. That's going to be my new workout routine.
I think that might send mixed messages if people walk by your gym and so you're watching that on a loop.
I just love the idea of like, that's my secret cap. I'm always thinking about
whoever the fuck it is at Warner Brothers that thinks this is a good idea.
I think the third one that I rewatched that I haven't revisited would be the New Frontier.
Yes, that's a good terrific one.
It's sort of funny if you would go back and trace the Barbara Gordon and Batman thing over the course of the animated stuff, like how it started as a subtle thing that you could read into it.
Uh-huh.
I think it started with like, she clearly has Batman a crush on him.
Right.
He shouldn't ever reciprocate that.
Absolutely. Her having a crush would be understandable.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the first... why are we talking this? Am I getting my forehead starting to throb? It was the Lego movie, wasn't it? The Fat Man Lego movie? That was the first time they made them, like, romantic partners?
Explicitly?
Yeah, she was explicitly his girlfriend in the movie.
But, I mean, Batman Beyond, they, like, hinted at it.
It's true.
Yeah, I never watched that, so I don't know. But all I know is the comics about Batman Beyond said that that's why Barbara and Dick broke up is because she slept with him. But I stopped reading the comics.
That's when they made it explicit. But I think on the show, they sort of had like offhanded comments.
Someone over there has...
They had a lot of comments on that show about... Well, I guess it was that episode of Justice League that's set in the Batman Beyond universe.
Yes.
Where Amanda Waller refers to Bruce as always leaving his DNA around town.
Mm-hmm. It's like gradually over time, it's like they're trying to drop it in. And like finally, they're like, you know what? I'm just going to write a comic where we just out and do it.
I was really enjoying that book. Norm Brayfogel was drawing it.
Mm.
But then I immediately just had to stop reading it. Makes me angry. All right. So that was Justice League War World. That's your review for Justice League War World. We, as we mentioned, there's not another one of these films this year, but we'll be back in 2024 for Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths and I guess Justice League Watchmen.
I mean, it's only August. Can we just like pick a historic animated superhero movie Justice that we've League never Watchmen? Done and just do? Can we? Oh, yeah, Paul, what if we do an animated Brainstorms episode on the unreleased or edited out of the final cut of Watchmen Pirate Story?
We must have reviewed that somewhere already.
I don't think we have.
Okay.
We'll think about it. We'll get back to you. In the meantime, you can always listen to the weekly Pick of the Week show where Josh Flanagan and I, and sometimes Ryan Haupt and occasionally Paul Montgomery, talks about the week's new comics. We have our Talksplode and Booksplode monthly shows where we review a trade paperback or interview a creator. And we have our Mediasplode monthly show. We talk about non-comics media. All kinds of shows happening over at fanboy.com. You can find... Also over to fanboy.com, all of the animated Brain Trust reviews of all of the DC Universe animated original films. They're all there.
And we did that Punisher Black Widow movie that one time, too.
And we did the one Marvel one after everybody complained that it was terrible. And we never did it again. So it's not our fault. Talk to Marvel.
I think I did
that.
A text review of Thor versus Hulk.
Didn't we review it?
No, I think Paul's right. I think
I did a written review of, or whatever that was. The one that they did Planet. Oh, it was Planet Hulk.
Hulk versus.
Yes, Hulk versus.
And yeah, you did do a text review. And we also reviewed Invincible Season 1. Maybe we'll do Season 2 when it comes out.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can do that.
We can I like do it. That. We'll see. We'll see. No promises. But in the meantime, we'll be back. My name is Connor.
I'm Paul.
I promise. I don't care that Connor said no promises. I'm promising. You gotta spread the word. Tell them what you have.